Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
They give it to Jameer. Big hole. There he goes down the 20-yard line. Angle 15. Gone, baby. 5. End zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. 25 yards. How about the work from the big man up front?
Lions Radio Network. It's Jameer Gibbs's world. We were living in it last night. Massive win for the Detroit Lions. They lock up the number one seed. They vanquish Minnesota. Sam Darnold looked terrible. There's so many ways to dissect this. We have our playoff field set in the NFL, Perloff. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes. I mean, this is feels like we're on a collision course. I know this is, I'm going off script here, but it's going to be the running back battle. Jameer Gibbs versus Saquon Barkley. It's going to be so awesome. And they're both very similar. They're both amazing. It's a throwback to 1992 with Barry Sanders. I cannot wait.
Yeah, you're right. It's all about the running back right now. Jameer Gibbs was so good last
night. He's so good.
So he had 4 touchdowns, and he was really the difference on offense. And it's not that, you know, Goff had a terrible game, threw a bad pick at one point, but didn't have a terrible game. It was just the fact that Gibbs, for a defense in the Minnesota, that I know sounds weird, I didn't think they played bad last night. I did not think the Minnesota's defense played badly. They just could not find an answer for Jameer Gibbs. Every time he got to the outside, it was like he turned on this other jet that he has. And the more impressive part about it is, if you were watching early in the game, he took a hit.
From Van Ginkle,
Andrew Van Ginkle. Yeah. By the way, Van Ginkle and Anzalone both playing in the same game. I'm like, actual Vikings in this game. Anyway, with the blonde hair flowing out of the back of the helmet. Anyway, he took this shot, and Chris Collinsworth says, man, you take a hit like that early in the game, you're going to feel it the rest of the game. Well, I mean, not to disagree with you, Chris, but I don't think Jameer Gibbs was feeling it. It was like he was energized by it. It was like, all right, and he was off.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, Van Ginkle got caught trying to cover Gibbs in the pass game, which, now here's the thing. Let's talk about this for real. David Montgomery might come back, they said last night during the broadcast, but I think Gibbs is taking a lot of wear and tear. He had Montgomery. When you have Montgomery for half the carries and Gibbs as a special weapon, it is unstoppable. So I do worry, like, man, is he going to hit a wall in the play? Can they give it to him 25 times a game against, we'll see who they play. But he's going to go up against good defenses. So that's my only way to stop the Lions, is that Gibbs wears down a little bit because he is unstoppable. Same with Barkley, too, by the way. Like, he's just had a lot of touches this year.
But I would say the counter to that is, then good thing you wrapped up the number one seed.
Because you get two weeks.
You get to rest. You get to recover. Now, while last night was very impressive for the Lions, I actually thought the story coming out of this was not so much the Lions. I thought it was more about Minnesota. Because Minnesota had gotten their believers, right? You and I talk about it almost on a weekly basis. Do you believe now?
Yeah.
Do you believe in Sam Darnold now? Do you believe now? Are you going to, are you actually going to buy in? Are you going to buy in? And a lot of people were hesitant. People like me, who never fully did buy in. And it's because we've seen that game before. And you could argue that that's the biggest game that Sam Darnold has ever played in his life, unless you want to go back to the Rose Bowl when he played for USC. And look at what happened. He was atrocious last night. And he wasn't the only one who was bad, but he was awful. He was overthrowing guys. He was under pressure. He didn't look like he knew what to do last night. And that is the alarming part, because the dominoes pearl off of this, right? Minnesota now going to go to LA to face the Rams, right?
Right.
You don't think that pass rush from LA, the defense that's gotten better week after week after week with these young guys, you don't think they're going to try to make Sam Darnold's life absolute misery? And it's not like it was some number one corner who was holding Justin Jefferson down. It happened to be a guy, Robertson, who he's known since high school, who kind of gets under his skin, apparently. So I thought this was a lot. We can talk about the Lions for sure. Their defense is still so injured and so banged up. I can't allow myself to fully believe in the Lions either. I'm going with your Philadelphia Eagles as the team to beat now. But I thought Minnesota, for the people who Darnold had turned into believers, it's not just about last night's game. It's about what they do in the playoffs. And then it's about his contract, his future. A lot of stuff up in the air. A lot.
Well, I mean, you say it's his biggest game ever, but isn't next week the biggest game ever?
Well, what do you think's going to happen? Do you think he's more likely to play amazing, or do you think it's more likely that Sean McVay has something dialed up for him?
I think you're underestimating the Lions a little bit, because I do think that there's a massive difference between the 15-2 Lions and the 10-7 Rams, especially in Detroit. So I'm not sure I see it that clear. I thought the game might be a pick'em, Vikings and Rams, because the Rams are playing well. But the Vikings are favored.
They are.
I think it's a much different. Also, too, the Lions had already seen the Vikings earlier in the year. They know them really well. I think it's going to be a different formula. Listen, Darnold was bad, but there were a couple. I don't know what happened in the red zone with Darnold. I'm also going to go, the play calling and Darnold were not great. I thought they should have run the ball a little bit more in the red zone. Chris Collinsworth said it, too. They were not. They went away from the run so much last night, it made the Lions' job easy. Just like, oh, they're not running the ball. Let's just pin our ears back and go after Darnold. I'm not sure that is the end. I'm not sure he's permanently a pumpkin.
855-212-4227. Sam Darnold turned into a pumpkin last night. And the Minnesota Vikings, yes.
Nobody thought the Vikings were. We had this big argument with our friend Gio, who's on Boomer and Gio on CBS Sports Network and WFAN.
Vikings fan.
Nobody thought the Vikings were a contender coming into this game. Like, yeah, even if the Vikings had won, I still think they'd be fifth in odds. I mean, they're sixth right now. The Lions they're two different. People view these teams completely differently, right? Like, it's not like it's like, oh, the Lions and the Vikings are same. Is anybody saying that?
I think if Minnesota had won this game, then yeah. I mean, and
I think the Lions are favored over them. And in big picture, I do not. Even if Minnesota wins this game, I don't think they're Super Bowl favorites.
Well, Super Bowl favorites, listen, you got a long way to go considering you have the Lions, you have the Eagles, you have teams in the NFC that we've seen have more success in the postseason than Minnesota. So they'd be a long way to go, but you can't tell me that the vibes weren't high. You can't tell me that people weren't buying in. That's just revisionist history. That's just wrong.
No,
they had won 9 games in a row.
Right, but like you look at a stat like point differential. Like the Lions are number one by a mile in the NFL. The Vikings are 10th. Look at the some of these wins. They've won. They beat Green Bay by 2, Seattle by 3, Chicago. They blew out in the second game, but Chicago was terrible and they almost lost to them. They barely beat Arizona. Like, they have been skating by a lot of close games where Lions come out like a house on fire.
I get it. However, we were also told that, hey, this isn't the same Minnesota team from a couple years ago with Kirk Cousins that kept winning one score games and turned out to be fool's gold, and the less than stellar Giants went in and beat them in their home field. This was a different team.
Remember? Who told you that?
Because their metrics were better. I want to bore the audience. DVOA, whatever you want to use, show that the defense was so much better than that team, and that these weren't as fluky. Listen, I thought some of the wins did look a little fluky. I was being told that Sam Darnold was lifting the offense.
Well, you say that is a we view differently, but how come we kept talking about that Kirk Cousins 13-14? I mean, it came up every time you talk about the Vikings, you're like, well, there was the Kirk Cousins year. It's not like it was far from our consciousness. Like, it's been in the mix when we talk about the Vikings. We at least ask, uh-oh, is this team a little bit of fool's gold? It's been in the ether.
And that's why last night's game was really big. Because if you could go on the road and you could beat the Lions in this winner-take-all-ish type of thing, well, then don't you finally prove that you belong? And what happened? Darnold played his worst game of the season, hands down. And so, yeah, I mean, the jumping off the Vikings bandwagon, it's like a rush to the exits. Here's the thing, though, about the Lions, Pearl.
Yeah.
This is what's key. They were impressive last night. Period, full stop, Jahmyr Gibbs, everything. And they kept doing what they do, which is the fourth downs and going for it. They didn't pull out any trick plays, though, that I recall from last night, unless I'm missing something.
I thought they did have. We'll check.
Did they have a trick play last night? I don't remember one. Anyway,
like a stumble? No.
No stumble bums. No. I don't remember any flea flicker Statue of Liberties. I don't know if they got anything else. No ring around the rosies. Nothing like that. Anyway, they to me still on defense. I'm having trouble. And Aaron Glenn dialed up a hell of a game plan last night. He's definitely a head coach in waiting. He was great. But I think Darnold was egg-laying. And I worry for the Lions. Now, listen, they've got home field advantage now. Mm. They did exactly what they needed to do. Perfect. But so many injuries. They lost Terry and Arnold last night. I mean, how do you overcome this if you're playing your Philadelphia Eagles? How do you overcome this if you are playing like a, let's say the Rams catch fire? Yeah. You know, how do you do that if you're Detroit?
Well, they've actually had moments in the second half of the year where the defense has been really good. Even they've made adjustments since Hutchinson left. I mean, there's no way around it. They've had some great games. They had a bad game against your Bills, but that became like a crazy shootout.
Yeah.
I think that you saw last night some system stuff. Like, Aaron Glenn figured it out. You know, one thing, they blitz a ton. So that is trying to make up for no Aiden Hutchinson. You can't really blitz the Eagles that well because Hurts can move so well. He's really good against the blitz. So they have to try another strategy. I just think they're the team to beat now. I'm not so as worried as you are. I think they can control the ball offensively because there's so many weapons. They got such a control receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown. Sure. Gibbs is ridiculous. They might get Montgomery back. They have tight ends. Jameson Williams has been way more solid this year. I just think they can control it offensively, and they'll get in a shootout, and they'll win a shootout. We've seen teams like this advance. I would definitely, if I could do a mulligan on my pick, I'd pick the Lions. And I understand the Eagles are right there, but who knows? You know, both teams might not even make the NFC title game, but it does feel like that is the battle.
Yeah, I look at this defense, and I look at Philadelphia's defense, and I'm just going by the metrics here. And Philadelphia's defense is basically at the top of every single meaningful statistical category on defense.
Yeah,
that's it. And Detroit is a mash unit on defense.
They have not. Seeing the Lions, though.
Can you offense your way to a Super Bowl? It's rare, man. It's rare.
I mean, the Eagles' defense totally imploded against Washington a couple weeks ago. Listen, the Lions and the Vikings got the AFC South, so that was four easy wins. Mm-hmm. We don't really know. I mean, the Eagles' defense is not... They had one amazing game against Joe Burrow and the Bengals, but they haven't really faced this kind of team. Like we have no idea what Jahmyr Gibbs is going to do to them. Can they tackle Jahmyr Gibbs? I'd say no. And you know why I say that? Because nobody can tackle Jahmyr Gibbs. Nobody can tackle Saquon Barkley either. This is going to be an incredible old school running back battle. I hear what you're saying about the Lions defense, but don't you see a 37-33 NFC title game? It's going to be indoors now. So there's a lot of reason. That's the other thing. The Eagles on the road.
I trust the Eagles on the road. They have
indoors in Detroit.
Yes and yes, because they have the thing that travels well in the NFL. Great offensive line, great defensive line.
They're definitely a dog in that game. Would you give me that? I'd say 2.5, 3.
Not by much, though. Yeah, 855-212-4227. Okay, let's get the calls going early and often here. Today's about you. We try to get to everything, and boy, we've got a stack show for you. But if you want to talk about your team, you got to give us a call. 855-212-4227. Ronnie is in Birmingham, gets us started on this Monday. Good morning, Ronnie.
Hey, Meg. Hey, Pearl. How y'all doing today, man?
We're great. What's up?
I just wanted to put two things in real quick about the Minnesota and the Detroit game. There is a disease that's going around affecting offensive coordinators. I'm a 49er fan, so I can bear witness to this. Nobody wants to run the ball no more. When Minnesota got the turnover, they threw the ball three times in a row to Sam Darnold defense. Now, I'm not saying that I can't put everything on Sam Darnold, but when you become one-dimensional, you become very predictable now, and now I can put you in a situation where I can pin my DN ears back and blitz you more like they were doing because they just wanted, they act like they didn't even have Aaron Jones in the backfield.
Well,
you know.
I mean, how healthy is Jones? That's the big question, right? Like, he was in the locker room at the beginning of the half. He had a quad injury coming in. He was questionable. So I think is that why they went away from the run?
That's why we have a depth chart in the NFL. Yeah. That's what they draft for. You got to, whoever the next man up has got to step up. Last thing, and I'm going to let y'all go. My 49ers are going to pay Brock Purdy. We're going to pay Dre Greenlaw. We pretty much get our whole team back. We'll draft some great offensive linemen. We'll be back next year. Bang, bang, out of game. Thank y'all.
Ronnie, thank you. Ronnie and I lockstep on this one. I do believe the 49ers are going to pay Brock Purdy. I think it's going to be a big, huge, massive contract. I don't think he's taking some kind of major discount or anything like that. I think he thinks, hey, I'm up. It's my time. Yeah. I'm the starter. Why wouldn't I get paid just like everyone else gets paid?
Dak Prescott just got $60 million.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy's not getting $60 million.
Well, it says you.
Show bet.
You know.
I lost his last one.
Yeah.
That 6-0 number. It's going below. And the other thing, too,
I feel bad for you. You lost that one about Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, and you had to eat Skyline Chili out of a bowl.
$400,000,
with no hands.
Brock Purdy needs to get LASIK over the offseason because he needs to see the other jersey before he throws it right to them again. He really took a step back at the end of this year. If they pay him $60 million, they're out of their mind.
They pay everybody.
They're not paying.
Who do they not pay? They pay everybody. It takes a while to come around to it, but they eventually pay everybody.
They're not paying Brock Purdy 60 plus.
Then good luck with life with Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins or whoever you're going to do.
Bring it on. And by the way, Purdy's still under contract, so it's not.
That's true. They don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're getting rid of Purdy, but they're going to find some kind of middle ground, which could be $50 million, but that's $10 million less per year than Dak Prescott. So you think they're paying him $62 million per year for Brock Purdy? That is not happening.
Well, it'd be a little different because Prescott's contract was a shorter contract because of his age. This one would be much longer, wouldn't it be? Dak Prescott's was like
years.
Basically a four, but basically like a three.
Yeah.
This would be a five that's basically a four.
So what was Jordan Love was, what, 55 and a half? I don't even... So if it's the next year, so that goes up to what, 58? He's not getting $58 million a year.
I think he is. 855-212-4227. I don't know. Can you eat more things with no hands? Do I have to eat something now with no hands? I don't know. I can't do that.
Two Waffle Houses.
No. I haven't done the first Waffle House bet yet, EJ.
Brock Purdy was pretty bad. I mean, like, there was really, like, the Niners... Even at the end of the year, like, he could have kept them in this, and something was going on. Like, I know what was going on. They couldn't protect him, and then we saw what happened. And then he decided to use his legs a lot this year, and it didn't work at all. And I'm not even sure about Dre Greenlaw either. Like, dude, you're really going to pay that guy? How much health does he have left in those legs?
Well, I mean, imagine if they'd had him, if he had stayed healthy during the Super Bowl, maybe they win the Super Bowl. And if they had had him earlier this year, maybe the defense doesn't look like it took a gigantic step backwards.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but still, like, do you trust that guy to stay healthy?
Sure. 855-212-4227. Okay, we got started with Minnesota and Detroit. Are you off the Vikings bandwagon now, if you were on it, number one? And two... Did the Lions leave no doubt? To me, the answer is no. I still have a major doubt about the Lions. I don't think their defense is good enough to win the Super Bowl. Boom. What about you? 855-212-4227.
All right, Maggie, it's playoff time. It's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash. While watching the playoffs, over 10 million members, billions of dollars in award winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. Oh, it's the best time of year for Prize Picks. It's so simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 1,000 times your money.
It's our obsession. This is what Perloff and I talk about 99.9% of the time on the show and off the show, is our Prize Picks, because I love the idea of pairing NFL playoffs with, like, fun NBA, fun NHL, soccer, if that's your thing. Everything is in the mix with Prize Picks.
Esports.
Esports, which now we're obsessed with also. Did you know Prize Picks accepts major credit cards for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season? Join Prize Picks. It's America's number one daily fantasy sports app. It's available to play in more than 40-plus states, including our friends in California and Texas. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to get the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. We just ended the last segment with an argument about Brock Purdy's money. He had 20 touchdowns and 12 picks this year. Dak Prescott got a ton of money because he had an MVP season last year. Brock Purdy was meh this year. I will be shocked if the Niners don't try to play some kind of hardball, because even if they do pay guys, they're going to play. They're going to play it till the end. There's just, I'm worried about the Niners. I really am. We had this argument all year long. Is their championship window closed? You say it might be. I thought it was open, but now I'm not so sure. Meanwhile, there's no championship window in Pittsburgh. It might have closed in 2009. Is that the, because I do not know the team we saw lose on Saturday night to the Bengals. Sure doesn't seem like a contender right now, Maggie.
No, it doesn't. And it feels a little like the frustration from the Steeler fans has got to be boiling over. They're booing the team at home as they lose to Cincinnati. They've lost four straight. And to be honest, you could forgive the three losses in 11 days because they lost to the Eagles, the Ravens, and the Kansas City Chiefs. This was a Bengals team that, A, you already beat, and two, I know the Bengals were playing for more, so maybe a bit more desperate, but their defense stinks. Like, the Bengals didn't make the playoffs. They didn't deserve to make the playoffs because their defense was so atrocious. And the Steelers almost like forgot that they had a winning game plan against them earlier in the season and went completely away from it. If I'm a Steeler fan, you know, I'm fed up. You got no quarterback. You can't run it back with Russ. I don't know if maybe Justin Fields is coming along more behind the scenes. And your offensive coordinator, Perloff, you said it the day they hired Arthur Smith. You're like, this is going to be it's going to be boring and bad. And you know what? It became boring and bad. They want to be this great run team, but you're not. So that's the thing. The Eagles, Baltimore, these are great run teams. You're not that team. Did you know that the Steelers have one of the worst success rates on 4th-and-1? I mean, you want to be a great run team, you got to be able to pick up a yard. And they just kept running into the line over and over again. And meanwhile, they lost this game. So congratulations. You've got to go to Baltimore now, and you got to play the Ravens, when a couple weeks ago, you actually were leading this division by 2 games and could have had a date with, like, the Houston Texans.
Don't you think the Steelers exceeded expectations this year, though? I mean, I think pretty much everyone agreed. They came in with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Nobody was talking about them maybe as a fringe playoff team because of Tomlin, but I think you reset your expectations midseason because the record was so gaudy.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, they have a $1.5 million quarterback room. They have really no receivers, and George Pickens, you might as well have stayed hurt, dude. So I'm not sure. I also, the motivation on Saturday night, clearly, they were not as into it as the Bengals were from the get-go.
Well, then that's reflects on the coaching.
No, you saw that all across the league on Sunday.
Oh,
like, there were
so
teams
annoying
that cared and teams that didn't care, and that's never going to – that is not on the coaching. That's the schedule being way too long.
Well, the season's way too long, but also, no, that is on the coaching, and it was embarrassing yesterday what we saw. That was not something to be celebrated. Yesterday, there were teams that needed these games that came out completely flat. Look at you, Tampa Bay Bucks. Looking at the Green Bay Packers, you had a lot of things to play for yesterday, and teams showed up like it was la-di-da.
Well, the Bucks won, at least.
And it took a 10-point come-from-behind win at home against the Saints, who are awful.
Football is, there's such a fine line between winning and losing. If you don't have 100% motivation, and you come out there and you're like, well, if we win this game, we have an outside chance of getting to the playoffs. Like, I just don't think football works that way. I don't think you can get up to 100% speed if you don't think you're playing for anything. And a team like, for example, the Packers, they didn't think they were playing for anything.
They absolutely were. They have to go and face your Eagles now on the road, where if they had won, they could have faced the Rams, maybe.
Yeah. No, I know, but they didn't care.
That's a mistake.
And the Rams, I don't even know what was happening there, why they sat everybody. I don't totally get it, but the NFL, the coaches don't seem to care as much as you care.
I actually think the Packers did care, because Jordan Love played until he hurt his hand,
right,
or his elbow, and then his hand lost, like, feeling. And I think they had Christian Watson play, they said, because Romeo Doubs was sick, even though Christian Watson wasn't 100%, then he left the game. So I think they did want to win that game.
Yeah, I felt like they came out
They just
really
didn't look
flat.
They didn't look They weren't playing well.
They looked bad with Love, which was weird. I also, the other thing, too, is I was watching that game. And I was like, oh, well, the Packers are clearly going to win this game at some point. It seemed like the second Malik Willis came in, they're like, oh, okay, they're back. I don't know why. Willis looked a little more effective than Love, and they probably should have won that game. It was, I don't know how the Bears finally actually pulled that one out of it. Usually the Bears lose that game. In fact, we've seen it all year long. I cannot believe Thomas Brown didn't blow it, and they actually won a close game. But it didn't matter. I think that was incentive on Saturday night, and the Bengals were playing for everything. That was a desperate playoff team. You had probably the last game T. Higgins is going to be there, although he was in and out. You have Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I'm not killing the Steelers for that loss at all.
Oh, I'm
not scared of the Steelers if I'm an AFC playoff team, but I have no problem with them dropping that game. I mean, Cincinnati's whole season was on the line.
I think the Steelers, that was just brutal to watch. And
I mean, their offense stinks right now.
Their offense is terrible, and you want to know what? You mentioned it. Like, they're paying $1.5 million in the quarterback room. They have no receivers. Well, why? You're paying $1.5 million for a quarterback. You've got no money invested in quarterback. Where's the money for the rest of the offense? You have it. You have money to burn. You're not paying a quarterback $60 million.
It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. When have they ever signed a free agent? Like,
well, if you believe they were in on everybody but couldn't get Brandon Ayuk, couldn't get, I don't know, who else they were even linked to. They got Mike Williams.
Traditionally, they have a formula, right? This has gone on. They draft low-character wide receivers, and they kill it. Like, and then they burn out, like Antonio Brown, Santonio Holmes, Martavis Bryant, George Pickens. Do you think Pickens was talent-wise going to be a second-round pick? And they've always had receivers. Like, they've always been these incredible guys out of nowhere.
But this didn't happen this year.
This year it didn't happen. It was bizarre how bad the receiving core was. I totally agree. But I don't think they expected that. I think they thought, okay, well, we know how to get receivers.
So the funny part is that the Steelers are kind of the one team that sort of has Lamar Jackson's number. You know, we talked about this, about how Steelers are 3-1 against Baltimore in the playoffs, and how, you know, this is the one team that understands how to play Lamar Jackson more than anyone else. Not this team. Maybe the Steelers, like the uniform has been good against Lamar Jackson, but this team going to Baltimore in the playoffs, this team's going to get crushed.
Ooh, you feel pretty confident about that.
I do.
Huh? They still are really good at containing Jackson. I mean, you don't think, I know towards the end of the year, I think that the Steelers were kind of mailing it in. I wouldn't be surprised if that defense, I think it's going to be kind of low scoring. I don't think Pittsburgh can score at all, but I do think that they're going to do an admirable job against Jackson.
9.5-point favorite. Biggest point spread of the wild card round. That's bigger than even Denver going to Buffalo.
All right.
The total is 45.5.
Interesting.
I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Baltimore. It's a little early for that.
I think the way they contain Lamar is still, it's going to show up. I think this is not going to be as high scoring. I don't think the Ravens are going to get 41 on the Steelers. I know they scored 34 last time. I don't see that happening. Mike Tomlin, you say like he's not a great coach. Like, dude, those guys on defense, if they get Highsmith and Watt, and you even saw it against Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati started out like a house on fire in that game, and then all of a sudden, Pittsburgh's defense bowed up, and that was impressive.
Mike Tomlin is a very good coach, but when they lose to the Ravens in the playoffs, it'll be almost creeping up on a decade since their last playoff win.
They shouldn't even be in the playoffs this year. They have Russell Wilson at quarterback.
Let's get to Bogus. He's got headlines for us. Very busy Monday. Good morning, Bogus.
Guys, good morning. Here's a riddle sponsored by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. It was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com.
Even I could have gotten that one.
All right, Edward Nygma.
Yeah, before deciding the NFC's number one seed last night, we had to decide the NFC South in the afternoon.
Here's the snap, dropping back to throw. Sorry, Shepard, but Baker Mayfield runs for comes the ball. It's Bucky Irving outside the 10 to the 5, 3-2-1, touchdown Tampa Bay.
Gene Deckerhoff on Bucks Radio. That the knockout punch. Tampa Bay rallying from a 16-6 halftime hold to beat the Saints 27-19 and clinch the division for the fourth season in a row. But Baker Mayfield wants a little bit more.
Feels good, but that's our goal wasn't just getting into the playoffs. We want to go all the way. So, like I said, this is a tough, resilient group that's been tested throughout the year, and so we're built for the playoffs.
Which for them begin against the Commanders on Sunday night. The Bucs would have clinched as well without a win yesterday, thanks to Bryce Young.
Here's the snap, the fake to Boone. Young backpedals, rolling to his right. He can run for it. He's got the 10. He's got the 5. Bryce into the end zone, and Carolina takes the lead. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns today for Bryce Young.
And none of them mattered if you listen to Perloff. That highlight from Anish Shroff on Panthers Radio. Carolina winning in OT in Atlanta to keep the Falcons out of the postseason, regardless of what those Bucks had done.
I could have scored at least 3 touchdowns against the Falcons.
The Lions earned that one seed.
Atlanta. Ugh. I picked them to win the NFC South. Never again for the rest of my life.
Again, you can be mad at the Falcons, deservedly so, but it's like Bryce. Did Bryce Young date your wife before you married? I don't understand why you're so against him.
Oh, no. I just think this Bryce Young hype train, like, it's just like meaningless game, meaningless numbers at the end of the season. And even his numbers aren't even that great. Like, how many yards do you think he threw for yesterday against Atlanta? He threw for 250. Like, come on. This is Atlanta. You should be 400 left-handed.
What?
I'm just saying, I'm like, Bryce Young's got like the hype guy right now. Like, he has 15 touchdowns and 9 picks on the year and 2,400 yards. Like, I don't know why the media is like all in on Bryce Young. Like, we have not seen that much this year.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. You understand that at one point he was benched during the season for Andy Dalton. We thought his career was over, that he would go down in history as maybe the worst number one overall pick of all time.
Right.
And now, but are you he's earned another year. And hold on one second. Yeah. They will not draft a quarterback over him, obviously. He's going to play, and if he takes another step forward next year and he plays well, now he's into year 3, and he could be lining up for a massive contract.
Or I think a more likely scenario is they win 5 games next year because of this overhype of these, like, kind of garbage points. It's like at the end of a game. I think people are too excited. Like, just the fact that you would say that, what's a more realistic option, that the Panthers are bad next year and they're stuck in another quarterback conundrum? Because, like, Bryce Young has not been that great. I'm just telling you, he has not been Jordan Love. Like, if you think that is who he
well,
is.
I don't think anyone's saying that. It's just where he was to where he is now.
Right.
Can't you acknowledge he's getting better?
Right. He used to be unplayable.
I hear you, but you're headed towards a really difficult spot. If they're bad again next year, and he does take another step, say he has 20 touchdowns and 13 picks, like, I don't know, he's just going to ride this mediocre train at the Panthers? Or do you think he's elite? Because that's, like, the question. Like,
well,
you need an elite quarterback.
I know, but here's the thing. You always want your quarterback to take their biggest jump between year 1 and year 2. People say between year 2 and year 3, but it's actually year 1 and year 2. And to be fair to him, he really did take a big jump. So how does he build on that? Listen, CJ Stroud, who had the all-time great rookie season, now came back to the pack a little bit in his second year, and then we'll see what happens with Stroud. I think history is not written on both these guys.
I mean, he won 3 games this year.
Four.
Beat the terrible Saints, the terrible Giants, and he beat the terrible Cardinals. Like, I just don't think, like, I'm not sure. People are talking about, like, we're going to come in next year. I was like, oh, maybe the Panthers are a dark horse playoff team. That's the way this thing works.
I don't know if anyone's saying that. It's just, congrats.
Well, if they're not, then why are you committing to Bryce Young?
Because
he's a young
player. He got himself off the mat, too, the dustbin of history he was about to go into.
But this isn't about comparing Bryce Young to old Bryce Young. This is about where are we as a franchise with our quarterback.
Oh, but see, no, but I think it is, though, because we thought the Panthers had messed up the number one pick.
Right.
And that's no longer guaranteed. He still might not become an elite quarterback, but we thought he was never going to play for them again. And now he's their starting quarterback going into next year, because no matter what you want to think about the Falcons, I have to assume that they were trying to win the game, and the Bucs game was undecided into the fourth quarter, and he scored 5 touchdowns.
Good assumption.
He accounted for 5 touchdowns in a game that mattered to the other team yesterday.
Then you guys should buy Panthers jerseys and invest in their win total next year, because I don't see them being good. I think he's too small. He has to run a lot, and he's going to take a massive hit at some point next year. He's got Tua vibes all over him to me, but he's not quite as productive as Tua. So I'm like, if I'm the Panthers, I'm like, okay, where am I going with this thing? I'm just telling you.
So what would you do then? Pay for Sam Darnold?
They already did that.
Yeah, trying
that. Can you
Sam
get already,
Sam 2.0? Sam, what do you, like, what do you do in then?
How about Baker Mayfield? Oh, he's already
locked
up.
Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, like those are the guys you're looking at when you say maybe there's hope for Bryce, because these are guys that we kind of casted away and said, oh, they're no good. And again, like we jump off the bandwagon of these guys too early. And sometimes it's not the first coach doesn't work out. Sometimes the first stop doesn't work out. And again, nobody's saying Bryce Young is a future MVP, but his numbers after he got benched are solid. They're solid. They were almost a 500 team. He threw 15 touchdowns, only 6 picks in those 10 starts. Those are numbers you can win with. Now, are the Panthers some up-and-coming team? They got a lot of holes still offensively. But it's hard to look at what Bryce Young has done and say that he is not clearly improved. He definitely has.
He's definitely improved, but that's not what I'm talking about. Like, improved from bad. Like, honestly, like, people are talking, like, you guys are missing the hype train. I think people are going to look at the Panthers next year as a playoff team. The media loves them some Bryce Young. They'll be like, oh, Bryce Young was so good at the end of last year. You know there's going to be a lot of hype coming in next year. Well, not just like, oh, he's just some, you know, this is a nice little story. People are going to be into this.
Well, here's the thing, though. You still have a Bucs team that is a division winner, and still have a Falcons team. I know you're never going to bet on them again, but Michael Penix is a thing. Their offense could be a thing. What else you got, folks?
Some coaching news. After beating the Bills and losing out in the first pick, the Patriots fired Gerard Mayo after one season. The Dolphins, meanwhile, are keeping Mike McDaniel and GM Chris Greer, Shane Steichen, Chris Ballard, keeping their jobs in Indy. USC wideout Zachariah Branch is going to Georgia, taking his brother Zion, a safety, with him. Zachariah, a top 10 target in the portal. The Cleveland Cavaliers are doing it again.
Simpson, right of the lane, stop shot, blocked by Mobley. Holy Mobley. Niang to Garland, no look to Mobley, right corner to LeVert, out front Niang, had it knocked away, George got it back, left wing Garland, three ball. Bullseye!
That's Tim Alcorn on Cavs Radio. Darius Garland scoring 25 in a 115-105 win over the Hornets. Cleveland has now won 10 in a row, all by double digits. They are 31-4 overall. And U.S. Hockey won the World Juniors for the second year in a row. Their first ever repeat, 4-3 over Finland in overtime in Ottawa. Guys, back to you.
Take that, Finland.
Mm-hmm. All the way back to Finland.
Free Bird, baby. That was a goal song.
Dynamite,
hockey guy myself, you know.
You got your toque on, I see.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
855-212-4227. All right, we're talking about the playoffs. The NFL field is set. We're going to give you our big upset picks for the first round. We also have to get into the coaching carousel, which is already in full swing. One coach showed the door yesterday. Break it all down next. This is the USA hockey team anthem, according to Manny. They beat Finland, and this is the song they play, Freebird, when they score.
Manny, who sings this?
That'd be Leonard Skinner.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, young people coming through.
EJ, have you heard of Leonard Skinner?
No.
So half the young people coming through with the old fogey
that was
rock music knowledge.
Predictable as anything, EJ. Nope. Can't help you there.
You heard of Sweet Home Alabama, DJ?
Yes, that I've heard that song, yeah.
It's just by the same band.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool for them. Got bangers.
Yeah, no. They're from down south. You should watch a documentary on that band. That is very entertaining.
That's when rock bands were rock bands.
Yeah, yeah. Plane accidents, alcoholism, wife swapping, all that stuff.
Fun times.
That's just like the first 5 minutes. 855-212-4227. Okay, we've got a lot of football to get to today because the NFL playoff picture is set. I want to get to our pal George here in LA because, George, you held steadfast with the Rams. They started 1-4. Looked like the season could have been a disaster, but here they are. They won 9 of their next 11, and they won the NFC West. My problem with them is why did they sit the starters yesterday, Stafford and those guys? They could have had the 3 seed. Now they're the 4 seed. They got to play the Vikings.
Well, Maggie, I think the Rams don't care, to be honest with you. Sean McVay is very confident in his team. Detroit gave us a blueprint how to beat Sam Darnold last night. Just pressure him big time. I think the Rams are a very confident team. They have 17 rookies. They almost won yesterday. If Geno Smith doesn't have the game of his life, they do win. And Jimmy just throws the ball two feet higher. They had a chance to win that game yesterday. And it's pretty impressive that 17 rookies playing yesterday. I don't know if you're in different parts of the game. And think about this for a second. I think the Rams can beat Minnesota, to be honest. So you just pressure Donald. He go back to the way he used to be. Stafford has all kinds of experience. And I'm not worried about Minnesota at all, and I don't think it makes any difference. And I think the NFC is wide open.
Yep. Yeah, but George, they're slight underdogs against the Vikings. They would have been pretty good favorites against the Commanders. Like, the Commanders look vulnerable. I think you're asking for trouble here because you have Justin Jefferson, and I know Sam Darnold looked terrible, but I think you're a little overconfident in this matchup.
I don't. Not at all. But I will give you credit for one thing. What's his name? Aaron Rodgers played very well yesterday for the Jets. And you're right about Aaron Rodgers. He will be back next year. And I think Rex Ryan will be their coach.
Oh, George, calling your shot all over the place.
I'm all about all of that. What George just said, that'd be some fun.
I know. EJ's slowly dying. Our Jets fan wants no part of both Rodgers and Rex Ryan. Just
the
this
audible noise that this kid just made.
Yeah, that's what they call the death rattle. No, I'm just kidding. EJ doesn't want any part of either of these people and could probably opt out of just being a Jets fan altogether right now. But, yeah, Rodgers did look good. Yes. Did he look good? He looked fine. He almost got Davante Adams killed on one of those screens.
Oh, my goodness.
That trick play where they did the...
Oh, that was a mess. That wasn't his fault. That was everybody's fault.
I know, but yeah. he prides himself on, you know, he and Brady, Rodgers that is, always talk about, oh, they liked it. They liked the NFL back in the old days because you had to be more conscious of not putting wide receivers in harm's way.
Yes.
And then Davante Adams had to leave the Raiders because he's like, I'm getting killed out there and I'm going to get, you know, these guys are taking my head off. And then Rodgers throws back this trick, weird, bizarre play.
Yeah.
And Davante Adams got blown up like he hasn't in years.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean, come on. That was a bizarre trick play that didn't work.
Yeah,
that wasn't a normal
way.
Well, first of all, did Adams have two catches on that play? I was actually wondering what the final. That was crazy. I don't think that was.
What do you think?
Rodgers' fault. I think that was just a poorly executed trick play. It seems like the defense knew exactly what was going on.
Who do you think took the harder hit, Jahmyr Gibbs or Davante Adams? My goodness.
Yeah.
There were a couple this thumps yesterday.
The fact that the Jets won that game after that play is just pure comedy to me.
I love that. That pass at the end with a touchdown where he got to Davante Adams, that did feel like a good way to go out for Aaron Rodgers. You know, throwing a touchdown to one of his best friends and then hugging Lazard. It just felt like that was the perfect way out for him, which means that he's guaranteed to come back.
Yeah, no, that one touchdown pass is not going to make up for the season of just absolute disgrace.
Although
jokes.
His final numbers, not bad.
Yeah, not befitting of impossible for Rodgers. He should take his own advice.
28 touchdowns, 11 picks will get you MVP consideration in some leagues.
The UFL?
Yeah, I was going to say, no, spring, I mean, I'm just saying, like, footballs around the
I'm
corner.
Saying, like, look at his numbers the last month as his legs gotten healthier. They're not bad. I'm sure there are teams out there are looking at him and be like, you know what? We could do worse next year.
Oof. Billy's in Toronto wants to talk about Denver taking care of Kansas City's backups. Hey, Billy, how are you?
Well, two things. Now, I'll get to that point second. First of all, you know, I was all footballed out after that the Detroit-Minnesota game came on, and I watched it up to halftime. And I'll tell you, I've seen that game a little differently. Minnesota could have been up 21-24-7, easy, on Detroit. And I get it. Darnold missed a lot of wide-open passes and stuff like that. But I think Detroit caught Minnesota off guard by blitzing like crazy,
yep,
something they weren't seeing on tape. And I'll tell you, Minnesota will be ready for them next time. I still say Minnesota beats Detroit. I if they play again in the playoffs.
All right.
My second point is this just drives me crazy. You know, up here in Toronto, I'm a big baseball fan, and my young nieces are getting into watching sports. They love baseball like their uncle. But about 5-6 years ago, the Raptors got on a run, and we all know what they did, beating Golden State in the final to win a championship. But twice I had tickets to go down to that game to see Kawhi Leonard, and twice Kawhi Leonard didn't play. And I got to tell you, my nieces now will never watch a basketball game again, and I don't watch it. I don't watch that sport.
Okay, but Billy, hold on one second. I'm sorry that you had that experience, but he won the franchise, their only title in the history of the team.
Right. I get it if you're legitimately hurt. But... And this is going to lead to the point that I'm trying to make.
Okay, go ahead.
Kansas City Chiefs, you are 15-1. You're supposed to be the best team in football. Some teams need help. Some teams need help. And you throw out that performance yesterday. I don't want to hear people say to me, well, you know what, Cincinnati? If you had won one more game, you would have been in the playoffs. They didn't win one more game. That was atrocious. And if I was a Denver fan and went down there to watch anybody on Kansas City play, I'd be pretty upset. 38-0, I think Kansas City should be fined heavily for that performance, and I'm talking in the millions, and I hope they get beat in the first round of the playoffs. I really hope the Kansas City team gets knocked out. Well, I could not stand
Billy,
what I've seen yesterday.
I guess I understand the frustration. Kansas City very open about the fact that Mahomes was not going to be playing in this game. They never hit it. They never oopsie-duped anybody. And Mahomes is dealing with an injury.
Totally with Billy. I think when they look at how bad Week 18, they're going to talk. This game will come up again. This will be mentioned in the competition committee. That was not good, what KC did on Sunday.
Well, they earned the right to sit the starters. Let's get more into it. 855-212-4227.